Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask, a flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a Spirit Flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show, before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your Spirit Flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. This is Real Ghost Stories Online Live. This is the episode where you call in your ghost stories, and we hear them person to person. The phone lines are open right now at 216-446-7810. 216-GHOST-10 if you're watching us live on Facebook. We do it every single Wednesday afternoon about 4 o'clock Central is when you tune in on our main Facebook page to join us. Call in your ghost stories and stick around. A great show is in store for you next.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. The phone number is 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. I appreciate everybody tuning in on YouTube and on Facebook. Could not do this thing without you. We greatly appreciate it. And I just saw someone ask me the question of, are you feeling better, Tony? Oh God, I wish I was, but I got my handy dandy inhaler here. It was funny, when I was a kid, I used to be jealous of the kids that had inhalers, which is kind of a strange thing to say. But I always thought they looked so fun, the kids with asthma. They had these little things they got to carry around. It's like, oh, if I could just take a hit off of that and see what it's like. I didn't do drugs, I just thought it looked fun. So I would like make this, an inhaler out of Legos. You know, you take the little one and then you have like a couple tall ones and it looks kind of like this. And you pretend that you're doing it. And it's funny, we were talking about that the other day, and Jen said she did the exact same thing as a child. If only we had known each other back then, we'd be even more screwed up today. Anyway, should I do it? I might as well take a hit on this. I have not done it off the air because I was scrambling to get everything technically ready to go. So here we go. Just get your Lego one ready if you don't need one. You shake it up a little bit and you...
Hold it in.
Probably I should have done it for longer, but there you go. Bronchitis still in full effect. Let's go to a caller at 616. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from? caller at 616.
I called him before about how my brother sharing the name with the kid that lived in our house before.
Yeah, I remember that call. Sure.
The one who had the same bedroom. Yeah, absolutely. So I was actually calling a little bit about that more.
Okay.
Most of us on the show, or who listen to the show, were, when I was in middle school and stuff, I got really into ghosts and things, and I definitely walked around our house. With knowledge, not all of it though. I'd gone around with, you know, a pendulum, and I went around with a dictaphone because that was, you know, in the early 2000s, trying to get EVPs and stuff. And for the most part, I didn't get a whole lot, but there were a few different instances where I feel lightly. You had some examples of things. For example, I did notice at one point that there were things on a shelf in my room that were moving around that no one had moved, and you could tell by the dust. Imprints that were there from where they had been sitting previously. So obviously, if they'd been moved by someone like my mother, they probably wouldn't have been surrounded by dust afterwards. Mm-hmm. Very distinct dust markings. There were also, I remember waking up in the middle of the night one night, and the door to my bedroom was just rattling like crazy. And it was after a few of these different smallish incidents that I realized, or I decided, you know what, I feel like I'm intruding, I'm definitely harassing someone, I'm probably just gonna let it go. And honestly, since then, nothing's ever happened. So I figured maybe of me being in a bothering somebody who they're like, yeah, we get it, you know, I'm here, just leave me alone now.
I mean, that's an interesting story, especially when you have the evidence of something as definitive as like the dust marks and things like that being moved. I mean, that's something that I think a lot of folks don't always, think about when it comes to this sort of stuff. A lot of times it's just more like, did I move that there? Did it, you know, sometimes there's little bits of evidence that if you do a little bit of digging, can say a whole lot about the situation and the story that you're going through. So I think it's cool that you did that and you took those extra steps to really try and get some evidence there. Thanks for calling in and giving us a follow-up on that story. Let's go to a caller at 928. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, it's Martha, Yuma, Arizona.
Hey, Martha, welcome to the program. Love to hear your story today.
Hi. I accidentally called the wrong number. Okay, all right. I have this written down because I'm nervous.
Okay.
I'm going to read it out for you.
Take your time, take your time, and I will judge the entire way.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I wasn't sure if I should go in chronological order, but that seemed right to me. So all paranormal experience that I remember.
Okay.
I had been living alone at my Nana and Papa's house. That's with my grandpa, about 2 years at the time that this experience happened. I was standing in the curtain window in my grandfather's room with my mom, who was using the natural light to do a decent job of brushing and styling my hair in my kindergarten year. That puts me around 5 years old. This was probably a very routine morning. And ordinary school day. This was until I saw a face in the window. It was not an ordinary face. It was a face of that I could only equate to a witch's face. She had greenish gray skin, long freckly hair, and freaky eyes that seemed to glow and twirl in the oddest manner, right out of a movie. I don't know if I had at first screamed and then was quietly transfixed, or the opposite, but then I wouldn't respond to my mother's questioning. She didn't see anything, but she did say I pointed at the window. Guess I was just flabbergasted, right? Mom went to investigate and saw nothing out of the ordinary. As she was looking outside into what could have been causing me so much anxiety, this witch flitting back and forth the window, knowing fully well she was scaring the daylights out of me. When she hovered farther away from the window, she'd immediately be digging a hole in the ground and pointing at it, just giving me the most grimacing smile you can imagine. Her eyes were mesmerizing, and as frightened as I was, I couldn't look away. I have no idea how long this lasted, but she did eventually fade away, I'm assuming. And I mean, she saw nobody outside at all. I have no idea why our family dog, who was out in the yard, did not bark, not even once. I told my mom that I saw a witch and she was digging a hole and pointing and laughing at me. She said she saw no witch and no hole whatsoever. After that incident, I made sure to have those curtains open, not to have those curtains open. I still, to this day, do not like those down especially. I will close those curtains. that was one of the first of many spooky things that have happened to me at my career. And I'm kind of, I think I could write a book or something. I have 20.
Yeah. When you had those things happen to you back then and you look back at it now, I mean, what do you make of it? I mean, it's interesting when you're a child and you have these experiences and then you try and, you try and make sense of it. How do you make sense of it? I mean, is there any making sense of it? What do you think what you were seeing?
That whole block, I know, especially downtown Yuma, is known for being haunted and crazy things appearing to people and voices, and you have it, everything you could think of.
Yeah.
So it's just like a known phenomena in those parts.
It's just one of those things where it might have been the imagery that it knew that would frighten you, and that's what it used. I could see that being the case quite often, especially when we have stories of kids experiencing some sort of haunted activity. It ends up being almost ghost-like in a stereotypical sense, because it knows that that's what the child would be afraid of or fearful of. Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us today. We really do appreciate it. Phone number again, 216-446-7810, to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to a caller here at area code 801. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from SLC, Utah.
All right, let's hear your story.
All right, so as long as I can remember, house that I live in has always been haunted. The main thing that started everything, though, happened probably 15 years ago when I was about 10. My parents had just started letting me stay home from school when I was off track by myself while they worked. And I woke up one morning and heard our kitchen chairs across our tile. Mm-hmm. And being little, I just thought, oh, my mom forgot something and she's sliding the chair in before she leaves for work. So I get up, look in the kitchen. One in my house, it's just me, and check the garage, cars are gone, no one's home, so I figure she probably went to work already. So I go back to bed, maybe it's later, wake up and hear it again, no one's in my house, my dog's reacting, but there's no one there. So go back into my room thinking that's weird, and then I hear it again and go into my kitchen. Every single cabinet door and drawer in our kitchen is completely opened. My dog's growling. All the hair on her back is standing, growling, drooling because she's growling so bad. And she wasn't an aggressive dog. She never acted like that. And my parents' room, because as a kid, that's where you're comfortable. That's where you feel safe.
Yeah, safe place.
And
sure.
I can just hear all the cats. Yeah, and I can just hear all the cabinet doors opening and slamming shut. And this happened for about 20 minutes, and my dog's in the doorway, growling, lunging at something, and nothing's there. And so finally, crying, I slammed the door shut and pushed my mom and dad's laundry hamper against the door, trying to barricade myself in and try to feel safe. And the whole time I just hear all hanging shut, and finally I don't know how, but I fell asleep hiding on the edge of the bed. And then my mom and dad came home asking why I walked in their room, and I told them, and they said all the cabinet doors were shut, nothing was out of place. But the entire time my dog just snarled and stood in the doorway.
What do you make of that when you look back on that and that experience? What do you think was going on?
Being little, before that, you don't, like, understand kind of, like, the concepts of ghosts, mm-hmm. at least I didn't. Like, I just got an uneasy feeling. And then, like, once I got older, I thought, oh, maybe it was, like, poltergeist. Because I read once you, like, start hitting that age, like, poltergeist can sometimes kick up. Mm-hmm. But over the years, like, staying in this house, like, more and more things have happened. It's, like, I've had my hair pulled in my house. Voices. And, like, my mom said when I was, like, before I was born, she would wake up and it was just her and my dad. And she would wake up to, like, hearing her voice called in the hallway while my dad was asleep. And, like, I've done research and everything on the house and, like, nothing deaf, like, nothing near our property. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it's hard to make sense of those situations because it's something where you're searching for an answer. You're searching for some reasoning. And the thing is, half the time, there isn't. It's just, it's going on, and there may not necessarily be a real sensible reason for it, but you certainly know you experienced it. I'm glad you were able to call in and share that with you. Hopefully, sometimes it just helps to get it out and share it with other folks who've also gone through some stuff that they can't explain and really don't have any true answers to. Really do appreciate you dialing in today. Our phone number here, 216-446-7810. Do greatly appreciate you calling in and sharing your stories with us. 216-GHOST-10 to call in live and share your experiences with us. And I should say, because I normally say at the beginning of the show, but I did not, but please share this with your friends. Press share on this on Facebook or wherever you use social media, Twitter, whatever it may be, Reddit. I'm going to pick somebody at the end of the episode today who has shared this, and if you're sharing it outside of Facebook, use the hashtag Ghost Podcast, and I'm going to get to somebody hooked up with this. This is our spirit flask, where if you, I'll give one of these away today to someone who does that, but if you want to get yours, sign up for a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com or upgrade, or when you go up for renewal, let me know if you want one, and I can send it out. That's kind of our new, cool, special extra thing that we're giving out right now when you have the yearly EPP membership. So be sure to take advantage of that. Let's go over to this caller here and hear another ghost story.
Hi, my name is Anissa. I'm calling from Southern California. My story is about the house that I grew up in. I lived there for 19 years. And in those 19 years, I can tell you a handful of experiences that I've had, my brother's had, friends who would come over to, you know, hang out or stay the night. They've all had experiences. But one that really, you know, freaks me out is I came home. I was probably 15 or 16. I came home, like, maybe around midnight, a little past midnight. No one was home. I called my grandparents, and they were out gambling, doing their thing. Didn't think much of it. Just to kind of lay out the scene for you guys, our computer desk was in our living room, and my grandparents had, like, the old-school, like, bubble monitor. Like, it wasn't, like, a new flat-screen computer or anything like that. And directly behind us, behind where the computer desk was our hallway to the garage, a bathroom, a bedroom, and that hallway light was on. So I'm sitting on the computer, just doing my thing, minding my own business. And then I kind of look in the reflection of the mom peeking their head around the corner as if they were in the laundry room. So I turn my head around, you know, and I'm like, hello, like, Anthony, I thought maybe my brother came home and I just didn't hear him, nothing. So I'm like, okay, it's just your head, like, on you, so I ignore it. Well, it keeps happening for probably 10 minutes. Every 2 to 3 minutes, I see it. So at this point, I'm fully freaked out. I call my brother, you know, and I'm like, can you please come home? I'm freaking out. He ends up coming home, and I just went up to my room and attempted at going to sleep because I was so scared, but, we had lots of experiences, and come to find out, my grandparents had a Ouija board. I actually didn't find this out. Me and my brother didn't know about this until maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So our entire lives, all this crazy stuff would happen to me and my brother, and we had all these crazy experiences, and we never understood why until my grandma finally admitted, you know, I had a Ouija board. She tried to get rid of it, throw it away in the trash. She ended up cleaning out our garage maybe a few months later, and it was in the garage. One day I do remember it just finally being gone. I asked my grandma, you know, like, what happened to it? Where'd it go? And she has no idea. Unless she's just lying to protect me, that Ouija board is now gone. And that's my story.
We'd be very interesting to hear exactly how the Ouija board was disposed of, because there's a lot of arguments there on proper ways of doing such a thing. Some would say, you know, it has to be done this certain way, otherwise it could release the energy. Others would argue that, no, it could be gone. I think the most common, safe way is the blessing and burying method, but I think a lot of people just kind of pitch it in the fireplace and hope for the best and go, hey, shit just got really real now. So it's just kind of one of those things. Phone lines are open right now if you want to share your ghost story with us live. 216-446-7810, 216-446-7810. Would love to hear from you and your ghost story. So I can talk less because I have bronchitis, and it's difficult knocking out four shows of this show a week. And then the Grave Talks episodes as well. But I do it drinking a lot of tea. And it's funny, I learned how to make tea in the coffee maker. Yeah, I, you can do it. You know, clean it out really well so you don't get that weird coffee taste in there. But I discovered about three tea bags will do a nice, you know, pot of tea. And I've been kind of downing that at like 3 or 4 pots of it a day. As I try and get through the bronchitis. It's one of those things where once you got it, it's not an easy, oh, just take this and it goes away. It's got to work its way out. It's like, geez, please make it end. So a lot of folks excited about and really enjoying an episode of the Grave Talks this week about the Bothell Hell House, which was actually featured on Ghost Adventures a couple of years ago. And there was a lot of controversy surrounding the legitimacy of it. People saying, you know, we think you kind of made this up, but some saying we believe you. And I don't watch that show. So when I interviewed Keith, who's on that episode right now, I knew nothing of the controversy. He actually came across to me as a very, genuine individual, sharing his story as he has to many others, as I die here trying to talk. Anyway, that's this week's episode. There's a part 2 to it as well, where we really get more in depth on the stories of what happened there. But I'm getting to, this is my point. Next week's episode of The Grave Talks is actually a follow-up episode where we talk with a paranormal investigative team that went in and investigated the house after the fact, after the Ghost Adventures debacle. And they talk about what they found in there. And they found stuff. It's not like we got nothing to, and then the show's done. No, it's if you're a gravekeeper, you can already hear the episode over at patreon.com/thegravetalks. So some of you probably have already heard it, but it's a really interesting follow up to a really interesting episode. And I just thought this will go hand in hand. So anyway, check it out. Lots of cool stuff out there right now that our other podcasts, The Grave Talks. And be sure to subscribe to that one too, wherever you get your podcasts. 216-446-7810 is our phone number. 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us today. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hi guys, this is Corrine from Las Vegas again. I'm actually not calling with a story of my own. I have a question about if you've ever heard of anything like this. I have read 2 separate articles online that were completely different people. Just kind of like one of those BuzzFeed articles that are like, has anything creepy ever happened to you? And people reply. And since I've read 2 of them now, I'm wondering if it's happened to any of your listeners. I've gone back through a couple years of your shows and I haven't heard anything yet, but I also haven't listened to everything. And it just fascinates me. The first article I read, the guy said he and his girlfriend were in his apartment at 11 o'clock at night watching TV. No big deal. They had done this every Saturday night, laughing, giggling, whatever. And then he calls, the jump happened. And he says all he remembers is they were watching TV, and then all of a sudden they woke up in his bedroom, sitting on the foot of the bed. They were both naked, terrified. They had no idea why their clothes were removed. They didn't know how they got to the bed. They were just sitting there terrified. And I don't remember all the details of the story, but I do know that they went to the hospital. They had CAT scans and x-rays and all kinds of things trying to figure out if they had been poisoned or, you know, and he said they weren't alcohol drinkers at all. They didn't do any drugs. They didn't even smoke cigarettes. So there was no medication involved. He just has no idea what happened. And I just read another article where the guy said that he thinks there was a glitch in his universe because one day he and his girlfriend woke up on opposite ends of their house completely naked and sweating, and they had no idea how they got there because right before that, I don't know what they were doing. They were together and clothed and normal. So I'm just wondering if you guys have heard of that before, and if not, I don't know, I mean, you don't have to play this phone call, but maybe just ask your readers, like, have you ever woken up somewhere randomly? Both of you, you know, like, one, it's like, okay, maybe a seizure, maybe something weird happened, I was robbed, I don't know, but I think these people woke up to, like, doors are locked, windows are locked, there's no, you know, evidence of anybody coming in the house. It wasn't like they were assaulted, they didn't feel like, so it just fascinates me because I don't understand what that is. And it would be great. Not great. I don't wish that upon anybody. But if someone has an answer to that, I would just love to hear it. So anyway, thanks again for your show. Talk to you later. Bye.
I would be very disturbed if I woke up somewhere naked and didn't know how I got there. And I will refrain. I will be good. I will not make any inappropriate jokes here right now because... Oh, there's so many just on the cusp of what I... And I'm sure it was like, make one, say something. No, I won't. I will not do that. But it would really suck if the ghost of... I'll be good. I'll be good. I really will. I'll be good. Anyway, somebody's not even dead yet. See, I just keep going down the road. I can't pull myself away from wanting to... Because it's really horrible, the shit that he did. And sometimes the only way you can kind of process shit is through humor. I won't. I won't do it. Cosby. 216-446-7810. 216-446-7810 is our phone number to call in a ghost story live and share it with us. Let's see, we got a caller over here at area code 915. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Katie Farnett, I'm from Ohio.
All right, let's hear your ghost story, Katie.
Yeah, I actually volunteer at otherwise known as Prospect Place in Turnway, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And we have all kinds of stuff happening, and it's been a railroad site. So, you know, of course, there's tons of history there. The mansion itself has been burned down once before and then rebuilt. But we recently just had the world's largest paranormal investigation. The other, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago now, or a week. Out and some of our paranormal teams out. I forget what you call it, but... we could actually, like, line out the ghosts. We had one of those out, and we actually, our head volunteer actually, like, touching her, and it was pretty crazy. I didn't actually believe in that until I actually saw it, and that was like, the neatest thing I've seen.
It sounds like it was quite an experience when you first, you heard that you're going to be doing this at the location, and You know what was going through your mind? Were you thinking we're gonna see something here today, or were you thinking this is just for show? This is just a kind of a publicity stunt. What were you thinking?
So we had ghost hunters with Jason and Grant, and then we've had ghost adventures up there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've kind of heard, like, everybody's different takes. I go every Sunday and help out there, just because I loved paranormal, but like I said, I never believed in it. But
sure.
Helping around, I would hear, like, you know, footsteps and random stuff, because it's an old house. I mean, everything echoes.
Sure.
But it was really neat to actually, like, and be a part of it.
To actually have a real experience where you get to see it one-on-one. That's cool. I mean, that's cool. It kind of gives you some confirmation there as to what's actually going on. Well, congratulations on being able to have that experience. It's pretty cool. Let's go to a caller at 417. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I am in Springfield, Missouri, not too far from you.
Oh, hey, welcome to the show. You got a story for us today?
Thank you. I do. I sent you one. I'm hoping that it wasn't read. I just tuned in on the second part of the show as I was leaving work, so I'd like to share one of yours, if that was okay.
It was not read. I know exactly what you're talking about. I think I replied back to your message actually earlier today.
Okay.
So go right ahead.
Yes. Okay. So a little bit of background about my family is my grandmother had even store here in town on a historic district on Commercial Street here, and anybody local to this area probably is aware that Commercial Street is how Springfield kind of began whenever the railroad was put in, and this is dating back to, I think, like the 1860s is when a lot of these buildings were built.
Mm-hmm.
And her store was located in the original Masonic Hall of Springfield, so take that as you will. And, it's been everything. I think it started, you know, a wagon supply hardware type store. There's been doctor's offices, all kinds of things there. And she had this shop, ever since before I was born up until I was about 17 or 18 years old is when she retired. So I've got a whole lifetime of stories, and she's got a lot too of experience that she, you know, went through. A lot of the activity that I'd like to share happened around, God, I think it was like the mid-2000s that I stormed here, and a lot of our families were without power, so the store was kind of a gathering place for us to all stay until power would come back, and there's probably 10 to 15 members of our family staying there, and, I mean, we just had all sorts of stuff happened. My mom was sleeping in a chair with her feet on an ottoman, and she remembers them being thrown off and then someone back. People would hear footsteps, like pacing back and forth on the second floor. Now, granted, she only used it for storage, and there was no heat up there, so there was no reason for anyone to be up there in the middle of the night. Everyone was accounted for anyway. Old doors with rusted hinges creaking shut out of nowhere. And so this was the like that would always happen regularly, and it seemed to pick up that night as we were all there. Even had a robe go missing and not 2 weeks later in an obvious place. Take that as you will, but it was odd.
Yeah.
Another separate experience that happened later on is my sister and I were there one weekday afternoon, and it was really dead, 2 or 3 o'clock. And there hadn't been in the store for at least an hour or so. And the way my grandmother had her store set up was she had a little, like, foyer area with chairs, because people would just often, everybody's, like, shop owners on the street all knew each other. People, patrons would always come and visit. And so we were just sitting there talking, kind of in front of her counter area. And finally, she got a customer come in. And we all look over to her, and we hear her greeted with a, "Hello." And says hi and continues on her way to browse the shop. And it takes us a while, like just about 30 seconds or so. And we kind of look at each other because we're like, "Did you greet her?" "No, that wasn't me." "Okay, so that was you." "No." None of us had said hi to this woman, but we heard the voice and she heard it too and responded. You know, that was probably the most major experience that I had there was that disembodied. There's countless stories. Even if you ask any of the shop owners on that street, it's just loaded with history, lots of sightings, lots of activity there. And I would encourage anybody to check out Street and some of the history, because it's definitely active location here in Southwest Missouri.
Which street is it again?
Commercial Street.
Commercial Street. Okay, yes, yes. I have
a town area of Springfield, but yeah.
I have been there. I'm still, because I've only been here in Branson for, well, we're all about 2.5 years. And so I'm still kind of learning all the streets and what they are. I forget streets names every town I'm in. So I'm just kind of like, oh, that's by the that. I do like walking around Springfield. It's a really neat city, and there's so much history there. And just a cool, cool downtown. So I appreciate you sharing that. And I would love it if you continue to share stories of the area with us on the show, so I can learn more about what's going on here in this new place I call home.
Oh, yeah. I would love to. I can give you like about a 2-minute one on the Pythian Castle of a recent experience I had.
Yeah.
I was on a ghost tour 2 months ago for my birthday, and I downloaded the ghost radar, and I'm like, okay, this is probably fake. I don't know if I trust this, but whatever, I'm going to do it. My mom thinks it's creepy and swears by it, so I did it. Never asked me permission to use my location, and I remember that, so it's not like it was tracking where I was or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Audio tracking. Here's the weird thing, is we were in the room where they had all of their USO-type events during World War II. It was kind of like, it was the capital. Here is a home. We're about to go downstairs now. There's a lot of history with the Pythian Castle, and one of the things that happened with it was used to house World War II POWs. There was a POW kept there in a cell in the basement who was from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And that in the USO room, we haven't gone downstairs yet. Didn't talk about the Japanese POW yet. And the a phone down on the table, and she's talking about the current room we were in the USO event, and all of a sudden Japan pops up on my radar app, and I'm like, okay.
You got officer. You got a little, okay. Little evidence there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, the tour went in the theater room, and then it's saying the word bow. And so I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
There's something now. I mean, it is what it is, but that's a pretty active area or location here, too. I would encourage checking that out if you can, or
yeah,
if you haven't yet.
That sounds really cool. It's one of those things where, you know, I've played with the Ghost Radar app myself, and it seems to shoot out random words when you're just kind of playing with it. But you can get that sometimes, I guess, when you go into locations that do have quite a bit of activity, and then maybe the words become a little more relevant. Maybe it's just always just kind of shooting out stuff and waiting for it to be manipulated. I don't know. I don't know how it works. But clearly you can't deny that there was obviously a correlation there that kind of made you go, okay, yeah. So anyway, thank you for that. Thank you for the email and reaching out from the area. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. I love the podcast. I've been listening nonstop while I've been at work, and I've got several coworkers on the bandwagon too.
Well, great. I'm glad.
Love you. We think you're great, and glad to have you here.
Great. Really do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Our phone number 216-446-7810 to share your ghost story with us. Let's try and get another caller in here at 870. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello? Okay. I got you on speakerphone in the car. My name's Erica, and I'm from Bentonville, Arkansas.
Okay.
And so I am from over in northeast Arkansas, over in a town called Batesville originally.
Okay.
And my husband and I decided when we were younger we was going to go ghost hunting at this and we started to go out into the cemetery church, and there was a tree, there's a couple trees out there, and old church, and up on the top part of the church there was an old Masonic lodge. And my husband had told me that it was haunted. He had had stuff happen there before. And, of course, I just thought he was, you know, just pulling my leg. And started walking out into the cemetery. And me and him both stopped. And we're looking at a tree. and something walks behind this tree, and it's the color of like a gray color. I see it coming out from one side looking at us, and my husband at the same time seen like its legs going behind. Needless to say, he darts toward it. I take off running the other way, and there's nothing there.
What do you make
of that? And I've been back a couple of times, and some other spooky stuff's happened, but that was like the start of any kind of para stuff that I had seen.
You just kind of go out for a fun adventure, not really thinking you're going to have anything happen, and then, boom, guess what? You got something.
Yeah, definitely. It scared the crap out of me. I had nightmares.
Does it make you want to do more ghost hunting, or has it fulfilled your need?
Well, I've done a little, since then. This was back, like, 10 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a little other, going out in the graveyards at dark and stuff. And, I get my scare off of it, but I feel like since that experience, I have actually seen more. I feel like I've also sent an email back about a year ago, like last November, about a dark shadow being him and just staring at me. And that was after we went ghost hunting. So I feel like something has attached to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been a long time, so I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to see it, so I'm good. And anytime I see it, I get scared.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you need to seriously think about when you go out and do that sort of stuff. And it's something that I think is overlooked quite often when people go and ghost hunt, if you will, that some of these things do like to travel and are looking for someone to travel along with. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us this afternoon here on the program. Do appreciate that very, very much. All right, I think that's going to probably wrap up today's episode of the program. Thank you guys for supporting it. Thank you guys for calling in and sharing your stories. I didn't throw up or choke too much when I was going through it today. I did press mute a few times to cough. If you're watching the video, you saw that. So thanks for that, guys. If you like the program, please become an EPP, extra podcast person. You know, the bonus episodes of the show, brand new EPP episodes out. In fact, there's a new one out, I think, right now. I just posted not too long ago today. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month. Support the show and keep us on the air. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for watching and listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.